Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another awesome episode of Life in a Show podcast. I'm Jason Wojo. We got Peter, Polish Peter to be exact, on here. And dude, we have an awesome episode today, man.
Yeah, Tyler, man, he is an amazing human being, man. We got to meet him a while back, and I got stories to tell about this guy from that conversation. And we're going to be talking about business and sales today. Yeah. And I'm excited for the kind of conversation because I think it's needed.
Yeah, man, Tyler is one of the smartest, sharpest, but also one of the best people you will ever meet. Just an incredible, incredible guy. All around, just does things right, and he just is—he's just amazing at what he does, and just a great, great dude. And we're gonna be talking about sales, and you know, not from the angles you think of, but rather we're gonna talk about some of the real problems in how people view, how they structure, how they think about sales, how they organize their sales process. This is going to be valuable for anybody who sells anything, which, by the way, is every single business in the entire world. And so we're really going to dive into these things, man. And I'm super excited.
Yeah. So I will tell you this, grab a piece of paper and start writing, because most of this conversation, it's probably something you have not heard before. Because most people, when you talk about doubling your sales, let's say, what's the first thing that probably pops into your mind? Get more leads. Well, you'll be surprised on this particular podcast. So grab a pen. Let's get in there. We talk about that. We talk about surfing and all a bunch of different cool stuff. So I'm excited for this conversation.
Dude, let's jump in right now. Here's our interview with Tyler Garns. Tyler, what's up, man? Welcome back to Life in Our Show.
Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Dude, it's been a while, and you've been up to a lot of things. I ran into you in person here at the end of last year, and you told me about something I was so excited to share with our audience, and it has to do with kind of what you've been up to over these last little bit of time here. It has to do with sales, and you formed a new company. You have a new direction. You're going to be helping entrepreneurs and business owners with something really, really critical for success, and I'm really curious, like, tell us more about what you're doing, and what is it that really encourage you and spawn you to move in this direction?
Yeah, I'm first off, Jason and Peter, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm really excited about this as well. Back in 2012, I had been, you know, the VP of marketing at Infusionsoft for the previous few years. I left that company in 2012. One of the first things I did was I started the Double Your Sales Club. Many people may not remember that because it was really kind of only a short time that I promoted it. And that eventually became Success Lab, which you were a member of, Jason. Success Lab was mainly supporting Infusionsoft customers. Eventually, you know, that became Keep. And so what I'm doing now is I'm getting back to my roots, which is the Double Your Sales Club. It sounds like it's all about sales, but really it's about just growing businesses. Driving sales in a business isn't just a sales function, right? You have to have leads. And then maybe even more importantly, you want to make sure that's profitable revenue. So there's a kind of a much bigger picture to it than just the sales piece. But it's all about doubling your sales, helping you grow as a business. And that might be double your sales this quarter. It might be double your sales this year. It might be double your sales in the next 5 years, depending on, you know, the growth trajectory of your business, your industry. You know, different industries grow at different rates and things like that. So that's what it's all about. It's getting down to the fundamentals of business growth and helping business owners understand those, because they tend to be experts in their field, not necessarily experts at marketing, sales, and business growth. And so it's just kind of really distilling it down to the basics and the fundamentals, mainly because it's a very distracting world out there, right? Like, there's so many people out there selling funnels and, you know, I'll manage your ads, I'll run your social profiles, I'll do this, that, and the other. And what my experience has been is that most business owners don't know what to do. And so they pay people for all that stuff and it doesn't always work. And so that ends up being frustrating.
Mm. So this has really been close to you for, gosh, we're looking on over a decade easily. And some of those things that you had done with Infusionsoft back then were really successful. What did that look like? And so how did you build these chops?
Great question. I was not a marketer when I became, when I joined the marketing team at Infusionsoft, and when I became the VP of marketing, I had no experience marketing, really. I had a degree in human biology. It was a degree in zoology with an emphasis in human biology.
That totally makes sense to be a marketer. That's a good connection right there.
Well, actually, I think that's what made me good at marketing in the beginning is because I took a very scientific approach to it. It tends to be very emotional for a business owner because you spend money, you lose money, and that hurts, and so you stop. I don't like to do things that hurt, right? But when you take a scientific approach to it, it's like, hey, it's just data. Yeah, maybe it didn't work, but I learned something. What does the data say? And how can I take that data and improve the next time and just keep running tests over and over? So that was really helpful. But going back to your question, Jason, about like, what did I do at Infusionsoft? Obviously, I was running the marketing team. I learned through a lot of testing, things like that. But what got me excited about this idea of doubling your sales is in about 2009, 2010, I concocted this crazy idea. I took it to the executive team. I said, hey, we should make this claim out to the world that we can double the sales of any business using our software. It's a really bold claim. It'll kind of get us out there. And some of them said, hey, yeah, that's great. We see it over and over with our customers. And some of them said, oh, that's really risky. Like, what if it blows up? What if we do this little experiment and we can't double the sales of the business that we choose or whatever? And I said, look, I get it, but you know, we'll set this whole thing up so it's in our favor, so it works, right? So we ran this contest, had all these people apply. And we chose a company, and the goal was we're going to double their sales in 90 days. And we did that. And of course, it was actually less than 90 days. And of course, we were focused on the software. So we were really trying to promote, hey, look how good the software is and whatever. And I think I really innately understood that it wasn't just the software. It was the principles. It was the strategies that we were employing that were important. You know, whether you do them manually or you do them with software, it doesn't really matter as long as you do them. The software just makes it easier. And so, you know, again, later when I started the Double Your Sales Club, I took those same principles and said, hey, look, these are the principles for, you know, growing a business. I learned that at Infusionsoft. I learned those principles. And then I ran an agency for 12 years and sold that to, you know, Infusionsoft, which is now Keep, which then was acquired by Thrive. It's this whole crazy story. But all during that time while I was running the agency, I think it was just ingrained in me over and over and over, working with every client that we had, that the fundamental principles of business growth are what's important, not all the fancy stuff that's always going on. The latest and greatest, you know, back then it was social media. Now it's AI. Tomorrow it'll be something else. You know, the fundamental strategies are what's important.
And so, okay, I love what you said that, man, because like some people might be intimidated by the thought like, oh, I have to get the software and this and that. But I love what you said is like, it's really these immutable principles that can be applied to all businesses. It's not industry specific. It's not if you're big or small, mom and pop, or you have 100 employees. Like these are principles that people can apply for that outcome regardless of their situation. And so,
and what are they? I'm curious.
Yeah. Like, so, well, and this is where, you know, in our discussion, I remember you pulling me aside and you're like, hey, so do you know how this and da-da-da? And you're like, well, that's not right. Like this is actually, and you explained to me, you explained this framework of how sales can be kind of orchestrated and how it all fits together. And I'm like, oh my dude, that's brilliant. Like people need to know about this. Can you recreate that conversation and talk to us about that framework?
Absolutely. So I may have mentioned to you when we had that conversation that I've developed what I call the Double Your Sales formula. The formula I'm not going to share with you today because I'm going to share that on a webinar, and we'll let people who are interested sign up to be on our waiting list and you know join that webinar in the future. But I'll share with you the basics of the formula, the fundamentals behind it. Here's the deal. If I said to you, Jason, Peter, hey, you need to go double your sales in the next 6 months. Like, you know, for whatever reason, it's required. Like, you're going to die if you don't do it. What would your first thought be? What are you going to go try and do? Like, you have to actually go do something now. What are you going to do?
Is burying my head under the pillow an option here? Is this a choice?
That's not an option. You're going to die, Jason. You have to go do something. What are you going to do? What's your first thought? Like most business owners, their first thought is, okay, I need to go what?
I would just go reach out to all the existing contacts I had probably.
Yeah. Okay, great.
There's other people I see, a lot of cold reach out, right? Facebook ads or all that kind of stuff. Just start doing that.
100%. Yeah. So that is most people's default is I need more leads. And that's what I hear almost every business owner tell me is I need more leads. Sometimes I'll say, I need to convert better the leads that I have. But that's pretty rare, actually. It's almost always, I need more leads. And that is the wrong way to think about it. And here's why. It's the most expensive way to get revenue in your business is to go buy leads, you know, whether you're paying for ads or whatever. It's the absolutely most expensive way and most risky way to bring in revenue. So, you know, a big part of the double your sales formula is flipping the process and flipping the thinking. So what you really want to do is you want to start with your existing customers, and we want to increase lifetime customer value, right? That revenue is, depending on your business model and whether you're selling products or services or information or whatever, it could be 100% profit. If it's not 100% profit, it's much more profitable than your other revenue. What do I mean by that? Let's say you've got a customer, you spent $100 to acquire that customer, and that customer, you know, paid you $200. Great. At least you're ROI positive, right? But half the money you got, you lost because you spent it on advertising, right? Now you've got $100 left to deliver your service. Maybe it costs you $50 to deliver the service. There's only $50 profit left, right? But what if I can go sell that customer another $200 service that also cost me only $50 to deliver? Now I've got $150 profit, right? That's an entirely different equation than when I had to go find the customer and pay money to acquire that customer. So the beautiful thing is when you focus on lifetime customer value first, and most importantly, you set up the systems to increase lifetime customer value automatically. So customers come in, they automatically get upsold. Customers come in, we automatically, you know, do all the work to retain them. Let's say we're on a subscription model. You know, so our retention goes up. So instead of them staying with us for a year, they're staying with us 2 years, 3 years, et cetera. Lifetime customer value is way better. When we have all that set up first, then we go back and figure out, okay, how do we improve sales conversion? How do we capture more leads? How do we drive more traffic? Those are the four pieces of the formula, by the way. Lifetime customer value, sales conversion, lead capture, and traffic. But you want to work in that direction. Start with lifetime customer value, then sales conversion, then lead capture, then traffic, instead of the other way around where most people focus on traffic. Here's why. When you do it in that order, when you finally get around to doing the traffic piece and paying for traffic, now that traffic is going to bring you a whole lot more revenue. Your return on investment of that traffic is way better. Why? Because your lead capture is happening at a higher rate. Your sales conversion is working at a higher rate. Then when you get customers in the door, you get a lot more revenue from those customers. So your ability to then go spend more money on advertising is greatly increased. And you probably heard the whole phrase of, he who's willing to spend the most to acquire a customer wins. That's true. If you can outspend your competition in the advertising world, then you win. You go crush your competition. If you can set that up to where it's actually, you know, making you money, you can spend as much as you want over here and keep making more money on the other end, you can outspend everybody. You basically have unlimited budget. That's one of the things I used to tell people when I was buying all the ads at Infusionsoft in the early days. So I'd tell them, look, I've got an unlimited budget, or I'd, you know, give them some number. I've got $100,000 to spend with you every month. If we can run a $5,000 test and the numbers prove out. And if they did, then I would go back to them and say, look, I want to spend as much money as you can give me. I want to buy all the inventory you've got. And they'd be stoked. But if it didn't pan out, then, you know, it was over. We wouldn't move forward. So anyways, I'm rambling at this point, but hopefully that makes sense, that you want to start with lifetime customer value, then you work your way backwards.
Dude, that is exactly the opposite thing, like you said, that everybody else usually does. Usually they just go right to leads and, you know, and then they'll be like, hey, I'm not capturing enough leads. Let's work on that. And then, hey, of those leads, now it just feels like an incredibly, you know, now that you say it, it feels so intuitive to do things that way. What is somebody, is this still relevant for somebody who feels like they don't have enough customers? Like, is this still something that regardless of whether you have 10 or 15 or 100 customers, this is something you should dial in first?
Great question. So the Double Your Sales Club is really geared for businesses that are doing $300,000 in annual revenue up to about $3 million and beyond. We have the Double Your Sales Mastermind for businesses that are bigger than that. But the Double Your Sales Club is for businesses that are established. You know, you've got a viable business going here. If you're just getting started and you're like, you know, knocking on your neighbor's door to get business, then I wouldn't encourage you to sign up for our program. Would it help? Sure. But you need to go ensure that your business actually is viable first, that you can go get customers, acquire them, turn them into happy customers, and do that over and over and over. And if you can, then let's talk about how do we really grow this thing.
Got it. So one of the things that popped into my head as you were talking is like, okay, we're starting with our existing customers. But I'm also wondering, like, do you feel like business owners could have some resistance against this? Like, oh, well, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to feel like, you know, like I have a new offer for them every week. And, you know, I'm just trying to like squeeze more money out of them. And, you know, there could be some resistance there. Have you encountered that? How do you deal with that if that's the case?
Yeah, 100%. Most business owners, again, aren't salesy people. They're not marketers. You know, they're great at their craft. And so sometimes it can feel a little icky to feel like you're always putting offers in front of people. But here's kind of the conversation I used to have with our agency clients. Let's just use Life and Air as an example. So I'll ask you, Peter, do you really believe that Life and Air is valuable to people, that when they pay for it, that they get a much greater return on that investment than what they put in?
1,000% without question, because I've experienced it myself and with a lot of the students in here.
Of course. So if you really believe that, then you want as many people to buy it as possible, right? Because you know it's going to transform their lives if they implement what you guys teach.
Right. Totally.
But they can never, ever, ever get that transformation if they don't buy from you, right? If they don't buy from you, that's because you're not selling to them. So when we start to think of it in that way, we realize like sales is an essential function for them to get the value out of the product that you sell. If you don't sell it to them, then they're missing out. You're doing yourself and them a disservice by not giving them the opportunity to get the value of what you do. Then once they're in the door, usually in most cases, the people who buy something from you will want more, right? Like there's a couple ways this happens. One is you help them to solve one problem that moves them to the next phase of their life or their business or whoever it is that you're serving. And in that next phase, they have new problems, right? Let's just take what I do, for example. If I teach people how to get more leads, guess what? All of a sudden, they're going to have a bunch of leads and they're going to have a new problem. Mm-hmm. I can't convert those leads very well. Or my sales team is, you know, overwhelmed or whatever. There's a new problem here. And if I have a program to sell them for that new problem, I shouldn't feel hesitant to offer that program because all it's going to do is help them. Right? But so many people feel like, oh, I just sold them the leads program. I don't want to be all pushy and salesy and sell them the program that helps them with their sales because that'll feel weird. But it won't, because guess what? Those people are dying for it. They're like, oh my gosh, if I could only convert better. Right? Because now they have this new problem. And so we want to just make sure that we're offering things that solve problems for them. And if so, we shouldn't hesitate at all. There's no way we can help them. There's no way they can get value from us if we don't put those offers in front of them. How you do it is completely up to you. You don't have to be salesy. You don't have to be a used car salesman, slimy and slick in the way that you do it. You don't have to pull the wool over their eyes. I like just straight up offers. Like, hey, here's what it is. Here's the problem it solves. Here's what it does for you. Here's the cost. If you want it, great. If you don't, hey, that's fine by me. But I know that it's going to help you. So here it is. So anyways, that's a great question, Jason. Yes, people are often hesitant. And that's some of the training that we go through, is like how to overcome that feeling and how to set up offers also that are automated in a lot of ways. So you don't have to feel like you're always pushing stuff on people. It's just part of the process, part of the experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, I love that you brought it up that way, you know, that you started with the belief, right? If you believe in your product, believe in your service, because think about it this way, those of you listening, like, there was probably been a point in your life when you weren't going through something tough or whatever. Someone came alongside of you and they helped you out, right? Because they maybe were on the other side of been there, done that, and they really helped you. Aren't you happy that the person was there for you? So we as entrepreneurs, I think, as business owners, have the responsibility to, if you believe in your product and your service, to be that person for them. I'm a fighter for you. I'm here fighting for you, man. Those kinds of things, right? When you start having that, that's how I started switching my conversation, because I'm like, my background, like the Polish, man, we do not sell. Like, it's a sleazy thing. It's a bad thing, right? So I had to switch it over. So I love that you are reframing that conversation for people, because this country is run by a small business. And I mean, we all need this.
Hey, we'll get right back to the episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about something really special. We have an upcoming Business Builder Workshop in Raleigh, North Carolina, my hometown, from November 13th to the 15th. It's a three-day event. It's essentially a three-day MBA. We've actually had people say, I've learned more from 3 days with you guys than I have in 2 years of business school. We unpack from A to Z what it takes to be successful in business. From a high level, an armchair, a theoretical approach, but a proven practical in the trenches approach. We talk about sales, we talk about marketing, we talk about business development, we talk about outsourcing, automation, delegation, like managing your money, making sure you have everything in place. Like it's awesome, dude. Peter co-facilitates these with me. Peter, what would you say to somebody who's thinking about coming out to Business Builder?
Well, if you want to have a business that supports your life, not the other way around, this is the place where we actually sit down and for 3 days create a business that basically supports your life. So you can go on vacations, you can spend time with the family, you can actually do what you were setting out to do. So we'd love to see you there and dig deep into the business and see how it can help you.
And I'll also say this, you know, for those of you who are skeptical, and I realize 3 days is a long time to ask, we have a 100% money back guarantee. You come to the entire event. Not the first half of the first day where, you know, you may stay there because you're afraid we're going to cover something good on the second day. Come to the full 3 days. And if it's not worth every single penny you paid to be there, we will gladly refund all of that money right there and then to you. We've never had a single person ask for that back, though, just for your information. So again, November 13th through 15th, the Life in Air Business Builder Workshop. Go to lifeinair.com and register now. Let's get back to the episode.
Peter, I love the word you just used, responsibility. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to start using that. Really, and that's true. Like, it's your responsibility.
Send me the couple of zloty on that, you know, the Polish money. You know?
Yeah. No, but that's such a great way of phrasing it. Really, it's your responsibility to offer your customers what they need to keep moving forward. And if you hold that back, then you're shirking your responsibility. I mean, you have something that can help them. Why wouldn't you share that with them?
Yeah.
So, man, the title itself, I want to talk about this for a second, Double Your Sales Club. I don't know if a lot of businesses can imagine actually doubling their sales. They may feel like this is impossible. This is a pipe dream. You know, what do you say to those people?
Yeah. There's two reasons people might be hesitant about that. One is, my business is running fairly chaotically right now. It requires a lot of my time, effort, attention, et cetera. I'm working 60, 80 hours a day. If we doubled the business, then that would just crush me, right? Like I couldn't handle it. So that's one reason. The other reason people are hesitant about that idea is because they just don't believe it, right? Hey, I've been at, you know, 1.5 million for the last 5 years. You know, the business is just steady. It's stuck. I don't believe we can actually get to 3 million. So let's talk about each of those situations. The first one, it really helps to go back to our process. We don't need to go get a million new leads and a bunch of new customers. We're going to start with focusing on lifetime customer value. We're going to start with your existing customers or past customers, and we're going to see if we can put some new things in front of them, or maybe some existing things that you're just not great at offering. And why are we going to do this? We're going to drive more profitable revenue into the business. With more profitable revenue, you can then invest in the structure of your business that you need to get all that stuff off your back. Sometimes it's a leadership problem. You might need to go invest in some leadership training so that you can delegate and get these things off your back. Sometimes it's just staff. You need some additional staff to help out with some of these things. Well, guess what? You can afford all that stuff when you have more profit coming in from your existing business. Then once you get that structure in place, you learn to delegate a little better. Then let's go figure out how to get some new customers in the door and drive that real growth, right? Then it feels a little more comfortable. The other thing is, again, you know, people don't believe it because their business is stagnant, or maybe their particular industry doesn't tend to experience like these, you know, hockey stick type growth charts. And what I tell people in that situation is, look, the growth principles are the same. It doesn't matter the industry. The principles are the same. Think about a redwood tree in, you know, central Northern California in the mountains. These trees are massive, but they might grow 100 feet in like 50 years. They need nutrition. They need good soil. They need water. They need sunlight, etc. Look at bamboo, on the other hand. It needs nutrition, good soil, water, sunlight. But certain types of bamboo can grow 100 feet in like a couple of months, I think it is. I need to go check my stats on that. But it's extremely different. But it's the same exact principles, right? The same ingredients go into it. Growth is just a little bit different. It doesn't mean that it can't grow. You know, the redwood or the sequoia can't grow to 100 feet. It can. It just takes longer. A bamboo might grow a whole lot faster, but it's the same principles that you put in place. So that's one thing to understand. Like some businesses are going to grow, you know, they're going to double in 90 days, like the example I shared with you, or a year. And others, it might take like 5 years, but they can do it.
Are there any commonalities? This might be, the answer is no, but maybe there is an answer here. You know, I think of so many businesses that are stuck. Like they just, you know, give or take a couple hundred grand a year. They're making, you know, whatever. 1 year it's six, 1 year it's seven, 1 year it's five, or it's 1 year it's 2 million, next year it's 2.2. You know, it's like there's always this kind of thermostat of like it bounces back and forth, but it never really seemed to break through. And I've wondered for a while, like, do you see common reasons behind this, or is it just like independent to the business? Like, hey, maybe it is a leads problem. Maybe it is a conversion problem. Maybe it is one of the other aspects of your framework that you talked about. I'm wondering if there's any common threads that people should look at if they are stuck. Like, where should they start to kind of try and figure this out?
It's a great question. It's very, very common for businesses to get stuck between about $1 million and $3 million annually. And then they get stuck again at like 10 million, and they get stuck again at 30 million. There's a kind of these plateau periods that happen. But between that million and 3 million range, it's very common for people to get stuck for a couple of reasons. One is leadership, and the other one is mindset. And so that's why we have the Double Your Sales Mastermind for those businesses that are bigger. They get to that point and they're like, okay, we've kind of figured out this other stuff. We've got really good lifetime customer value. We've got good sales conversion. We've got leads coming in the door, but we're still kind of stuck. They need additional help outside of just this sales and marketing realm. They need to be good leaders. They need to learn to set a vision and grow that vision. And these are all things that I've learned. And you know, we're planning on licensing from another company that you're familiar with, Jason. But you know, they need that leadership skills. And then also, there's, you know, big time mindset problems. You know, people are self-limiting in a ton of different ways. So again, the mastermind is designed to help people break through mindset and leadership challenges.
Got it. Would you also say that in any cases, like, you know, you look at something like lifetime customer value and the customer acquisition cost, and it's like just the numbers are just too tight, or, you know, the rate, the numbers, the margins are just not conducive. Like, there's just not enough money for growth. And is that something that can be fixed by your framework?
Sometimes yes. Oftentimes, if the lifetime customer value is just too low, it's because they're not, you know, really focusing on that and offering additional things or thinking creatively. I know you guys work in the real estate world. I've heard this a million times. What am I going to do? Upsell them another house? It's like you can't exactly do that. So you have to get creative. You know, there's probably a bunch of partnerships and other things. You're not just going to upsell your own stuff. you can sell other people's things. You know, again, think of what does someone need when they buy a new house? They need a whole bunch of stuff. And maybe you don't sell those things directly, but if you can offer them from partners of yours and things like that, you can still increase lifetime customer value. So yes, there's that. Sometimes there's a business model challenge though. And I can tell you this one from my own experience. When I was running my agency, based on the market that we were selling to and what they were able to afford and our services, we were growing really quickly. And we got to a point where we just completely stalled out. And I'm not, by default, a financial guy. So it took me a little while to learn this and figure it out. I actually took other people pointing it out to be like, hey, your financial model is broken. Like, this just isn't going to work. And so instead of doing project-based services, which is what we were doing before, like a lot of agencies do, and if we had served a larger, upmarket, mid-market business, then we could have charged five times what we were charging, done the same exact work, and it would have been very profitable. But serving very, very small businesses, which I'm passionate about, it just didn't work. The math didn't work. So we totally pivoted. We shut down that entire business model of doing project-based work. And then we started offering subscription-based agency services. And what that did is it allowed us to really focus on our margins in a much more stable way. We got rid of some of the creative services we did. We focused on the technical services that we had become really, really good at. And our resources for that were much less expensive. And by having a subscription model, it really flattened out our revenue, at least the revenue cycles that you tend to go through when you're a service-based business, right? You spend time selling and you bring in a bunch of revenue. Now, guess what? We're really busy delivering. And so while we're delivering, we're not really selling because we're super busy. And then you go through these cycles. And by having a subscription model, we were really able to flatten that out and then just focus on the growth, focus on the profit margins, focus on delivering great service. And it changed everything for us. That's why eventually I was able to sell that business and have a really great exit. If I had tried to sell the business 3 years before, no one would have bought it. I mean, it would have been a disaster. Mm.
Well, I hope everybody listens. You know what you said there about like, and by the way, I love the use the idea of selling another house because, arguably, these are one of the populations of business owners who are the most. They're like, well, I don't have anything else to offer. I mean, what else can I do? I'm not gonna. And you just gave some really key examples of what people could really start to think in terms of how who else, what else. Can I use to complement my offer and help these people with a different challenge they may have? So I love that, man. Thanks for that.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, I feel like a thing what ends up happening, I don't know how you feel about this, Tyler, but this is a good analogy for, I think, business owners. Like, we put ourselves into this silo, this house, and that's my thing. And in order for me to grow the business, I have to operate it within this house kind of a thing, as opposed to going outside and getting creative, like you said, partnership and affiliates and things like that to be able to help you actually grow that business. Would you say that's, kind of accurate? Like,
100%. One thing that I learned from my dad is that you need to reinvent yourself all the time. And if you're resistant to that idea, then you will eventually, if you haven't yet, you will eventually get to a plateau in business and your business will probably die. The world is changing so fast. If you're not constantly looking at how you can reinvent yourself or reinvent the business to stay ahead of things, you'll get behind. And my dad's just a great example of this because he was a commercial photographer for 45 years or so in LA. He became very well known for shooting cars and other shiny, hard to light objects. So he had a studio that was specifically set up for this kind of stuff. He's very, very well known for that kind of work. He's a specialist. I remember in high school, probably early high school, digital photography was starting to kind of really, really, catch some steam. And I asked him, Dad, do you think you'll ever go digital? And he's just like, nah, they'll never be able to recreate the quality of film, with these digital cameras. Sure enough, like 2 or 3 years later, he's 100% digital. And then I saw him go back to school. I mean, he's been out of school for 30 years at this point. I saw him go back to school to learn Photoshop. This is the original Photoshop, like Photoshop 1.0, when there wasn't layers. Most people don't realize that Photoshop didn't have layers in the early days.
Wow.
And he went back to school because he saw this evolution coming. He went back to school. He learned Photoshop. He taught himself Photoshop. He became an expert in Photoshop to where he was eventually billing as much or more for his Photoshop skills as he was for his photography skills. And he became an expert at that stuff. But I saw him do this, you know, every few years, he was inventing new techniques with his camera or learning these new skills or whatever to stay on top of things. Because if you just stay stagnant, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, if you don't believe what he's saying, just, do you guys remember such a thing called Blockbuster Video? Right? Interesting how, right? How they kind of evolved. So listen, I got a couple of questions for you. From a business perspective, sounds to me like as you're talking to it, it's data. Data is really important. You make a lot of the decisions based on data. If I was a business owner and I'm listening to this podcast, what are the top three numbers I should be looking at? You kind of brought a couple of them up, but I mean, are there some big levers that I can look at that I can pull to help me grow?
Yeah, so let's just go back through it. First thing is lifetime customer value. And if you don't have a good way of tracking that right now, I would say that's step number one. Get into your systems and figure out how you can track lifetime customer value. What is a customer actually worth to you over their lifetime when they continue to buy things, buy upsells, or they stay with you on a subscription or whatever it is? Figure out how to calculate that number and make sure you track it every single month. Focus on driving that number up. Next, again, we're just moving backwards through the funnel. Next is your sales conversion, right? Whatever that looks like. You might be selling online. If it is, like what's your conversion rate once people get to the sales letter or the video sales letter or the checkout page or whatever it is, right? Or if you have a sales team, you know, what's your conversion rate from appointment to sale or whatever it is, your key parts of your process, right? So your conversion metrics. Then it's your leads. How many leads are you capturing every month? And eventually you start looking at lead capture or capture conversion, right? How much traffic are you getting to your website or to a landing page or phone calls into your business or foot traffic into your retail store, whatever it is, how many people are coming and how many of those are you capturing as leads? You know, traditional businesses are terrible at lead capture. Mm-hmm. You know, walk into any retail store, they don't capture you as a lead. Walk into any, you know, medical clinic, they don't necessarily capture you as a lead. They might put you in their medical system, but are they doing a great job with like following up with you as a lead? Some of them are starting to, but most of them traditionally are not good at it, right? So those are some of your key metrics. And then when you start spending money on advertising, you really, really need to look at what is now often called ROAS, right? Return on ad spend. You know, how much money are you getting back when you invest that money in advertising? Your ROAS indicates how much money you can continue to spend. So you may have a budget, but if that budget stays fixed, you're not going to grow, right? The way you grow that is by getting better and better and better conversion. So you get more return on that ad spend, and then you can put that money back into spending more. So you can grow your budget, therefore grow the whole business.
And that's when you hit that unlimited money that you can spend with the ROAS.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Love it.
Now that's a very rare circumstance, honestly. So I don't want people fixed on this idea of like, hey, I need to create this, you know, we call it a self-liquidating funnel. I need to create this self-liquidating funnel. That's a pretty, you know, like elite level situation there to create that. You got to be really good at marketing, really good at conversion, all that stuff. But the concept is still applicable to everybody, right? Can I spend money over here and spend less than what I get lifetime value out of a customer, right? We call that in the software world, your LTV to CAC ratio. What does that mean? Lifetime customer value to customer acquisition cost ratio. So again, those are some numbers you can start looking at. And again, it's a little different in the software business, software as a service, SaaS, than most businesses, but the principles apply. Like if I can get more money out of the customer over here than I spend to acquire the customer, and it's still profitable enough where I can, you know, pay employees and run the business and pay myself, and there's still left over to grow the business, then we're doing great.
Awesome. So, go ahead.
I got something, Tyler. Like, I know we have only a couple minutes left here. Why should a business owner learn this stuff for themselves? And should they, or should they be having somebody else learn this stuff? Or you mentioned earlier people that hire agencies and it doesn't work. Like, you know, because I know a lot of business owners feel like, oh man, I already got 1,000 things on my plate. Like, why would you say they should or shouldn't learn this for themselves?
Here's the key thing. It's the difference between abdication and delegation. So if you're not familiar with those words, let's talk through them. Abdication is throwing something over the wall, which is what most businesses do when it comes to marketing. Man, I don't really know how this stuff works. Here's $5,000 a month. I give it to the agency and hopefully they can make it work. You would never do that with an employee inside your business, or at least most of the time, hopefully you wouldn't, right? You would give them some responsibility. You would hold them accountable and you would delegate, not abdicate. You would delegate the responsibility. Hey, your responsibility is this, 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 and this. I want a report from you every week or every month showing me that that's what you're getting accomplished. But since most business owners don't know how marketing works, they can't hold an agency or an expert that they hired accountable. They just send money over the fence and cross their fingers and hope it works. That's abdication. We don't want to abdicate the responsibility. We want to delegate the responsibility. The only way you can delegate the responsibility is if you know enough about it that you can hold them accountable. How do you know enough about it? You learn these basic principles and you get close enough. Now, I'm not saying a business owner should always be doing this work. They probably shouldn't in most cases, but you get close enough to it to where you know what your ROAS is, right? You know what your cost per lead should be. If you're paying an agency to drive leads for you, you should know, hey, I need you to generate leads at $10 or less per lead or whatever your cost per lead is. If you can't hold them accountable to those metrics, guess what? They're just going to spend your money and they're going to happily spend your money as long as you keep spending, you keep paying them, even if they're not getting results with you. You know, some agencies are have a little more integrity and they'll really try and work with you to make sure you're getting results. But as long as you keep paying them, most of them will just keep taking that money, even if you're not getting great results. So you need to be able to hold them accountable. The only way you can do that is if you learn the basics, these fundamentals yourself, and then you can go to them and tell them what you need out of them.
Makes so much sense.
Awesome. But listen, I want to find out like how people can go and learn more about this. But before we do that, I got a fun question for you. So some of you may know, was it last year or 2 years ago now, man? It's been a while. We were in California, me and Vojo, and you took us out surfing. I think you did this on purpose with the getting the weather, with the hail and everything all at the same time. Okay. But I will tell you this, as Tyler, the people that I know in the world, he is to me by far the best surfer kind of thing. So my question to you is this, is there something that you've learned through surfing that has helped you in your business or vice versa?
That's a good question. The good thing is I'm a much better marketer and instructor and business owner than I am surfer. I'm not the best surfer in the world. I'll let you believe that, but
that's all that matters, dude.
So here's the thing. When you're surfing, particularly when you're surfing big waves, when you're paddling into a wave, you're looking down. And literally, you're looking straight down. And if it's a good size wave, I mean, it might be two stories high, right? You're looking straight down. You have to literally throw yourself over the ledge to get down that wave to then bottom turn and get into a safe place in the wave. If you don't, if you hesitate, guess what? It's too late. The lip is going to suck you over anyways and just pitch you right into the reef and grind you up. And so you have to just take that leap of faith and literally throw your body over that ledge. And I love that analogy in business because there's so many times when you just have to take that leap of faith. Like so many of us get in that comfortable stage where it's like, if business isn't great, but at least, we're not dying here. And in order to move forward, in order to double your sales, in order to do whatever you want to do, achieve that great thing that you want to do in your business, in your life, whatever it is, you have to take that leap of faith. You have to just throw yourself over the ledge. And sometimes you can't see the bottom, right? I mean, that's what faith is all about. You can't see that next step in front of you. You have to step into the darkness and hope that it's there. And what I find is that, 9 times out of 10, when you take that leap of faith, it all works out. And then the 1 time out of 10 that it doesn't, it's a massively helpful learning experience. So you get up and you do it again and you learn and you grow and you keep going.
Well, especially the way you describe this whole thing, it's like two stories and you have to dig your leap over and I'm like swallowed by the, I'm like, I am so excited to go surfing now, man. But that's a great lesson.
you work your way up to that point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. At first, it's like 2 foot waves, and that's a little easier.
Dude, this has been amazing, man. So, how do people learn more about what you're doing in the WR Sales Club?
Yeah, so we're relaunching the WR Sales Club in September, late September, 2025. So go to wrsales.com/lifeandair. And if you're getting there before we launch, then you'll be able to get on the waiting list, and we'll send you some great information about the club. We'll give you some great instructional information that you can leverage anyways. If you're going to that URL after we launch, then you'll just be taken to a page where you can learn about it and probably sign up for a webinar and join the WR Sales Club.
Awesome, man. Thanks for your time and your contributions. Love what you're doing, brother.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
See you soon.
Dude, I love his approach, man. What a counterintuitive way. Like, you know, as soon as he said it, by the way, I was like, oh, duh. Like, I'm like, it's one of those things that's like so, it makes so much sense. You're like, why didn't I think of this, right? And I love that he kind of basically reverses, flips on its head the approach that most people look at and perform sales with. And this is why they have struggles. This is why they have a hard time. When in fact, like the pathway that he laid out for us is just, not only is it lower risk, it's lower cost. There's a bunch of other benefits there. It's quicker. Like there's so many other things here that that we didn't even get into that really just like, this is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, think about it as an analogy. If you have a leaky bucket, meaning that leaky bucket is your funnel from when people see your business to how they go through the business, how much water can you actually pull in this bucket that you actually fill it? You're probably never going to be able, you're going to waste a whole bunch of water, right? So if you start fixing what he's saying, working from your way back, looking at your lifetime, looking at all those different aspects of that business, aka plugging those holes in the buckets, then it's a lot easier to go and grow that business. And
when
I think
you pour the water in, it's not just all leaking out.
Right. It's not just all leaking out. So yeah. I think it's a really, and I think a lot of business owners, especially some business owners who are growth oriented, they look at revenue. How many times do we have those kinds of conversations, right? And they go and start, you know, mass mailing and mass emailing and mass Facebook ads and all that kind of stuff. And if you just go and switch or not switch, but improve the conversion of some of those numbers, it can really transform the business.
Well, and the biggest thing too is, man, is like the people, if you are doing a good job and providing a good service and people are happy with you, like they are the people who are already fans. And like, why wouldn't you help them, you know? And so like, you know, now, by the way, if you have a terrible product, like that's, or a terrible service, it's not going to be what you want it to be, but that's your opportunity to fix this and help people and start there and then kind of reverse engineer your path to getting more people after that. So love the episode. Hope you guys did too. Hope you do something with this. And by the way, I would take up Tyler on learning more about this process in detail. He talked about his training. Hit up the link, wrsales.com/lifeandair to do that. And we will see you next week, everyone. Take care. Have a great one.